hot and humid and a chance for showers today, tomorrow, and Friday. And some of those could be locally heavy, maybe cause some street flooding. It seems as though they might fire up and they don't really know where or for how long. And that's kind of like summertime, right? Earlier, apparently, I said today was May 27th. It's May 28th, and I'm still messed up by having Monday off. But I'm not complaining. I'll take Monday off every week. Eventually, I'll adjust to it. Maya McGinnis joins us now, president of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. Good morning, Maya. How are you?
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
Thanks for taking the time. Tell me about the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, because everybody wants to know who's supporting what and all that stuff.
Yes, absolutely. So the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, the name is a mouthful, has been around for 30 years now, over 30 years. And it was started by a bipartisan group of members of Congress when they were coming out in the early 80s who were concerned about the ability to budget well. Things have gotten worse, unfortunately. I think the key about this organization is we are very bipartisan. I'm a political independent. We have folks who have all sorts of political viewpoints, but we are united in the belief that borrowing too much, and not always a bad thing, like you need to borrow during a pandemic or a recession, but that borrowing too much in general, which as we do as a country, has profoundly negative effects. And our board of directors is made up of people who've been in government working on these issues before, and so they have an inside scoop, kind of, or insights into just how difficult this is. So we work with members of Congress and the public to try to push for more responsible policies, and starting with that means paying for the things that the government does borrowing and pushing it to the kids.
I'm sorry, I'm going to make an analogy here. It seems as though we got to carry in credit card debt as a nation and realized, well, wait a minute, we can just keep this going and going and going. Let's just keep opening new cards, keep opening, keep spending, keep opening, keep spending, keep buying, keep buying, keep spending, keep buying, keep opening credit cards. And that's kind of where we are.
Exactly. Exactly. And I was actually doing a podcast yesterday where the host said, what's wrong with that? I thought, oh, okay, well, the problem with that is it never ends well. And it particularly doesn't end well if you had a credit card teaser rate, which is in many ways what we've had over the past years, because interest rates were so low. The reason they were so low is that this country has the benefit of being the reserve currency. People want the dollar. People trust treasuries, which is how we finance our deficit, by selling treasuries. So they would charge us relatively low interest rates. But the risk, of course, is that interest rates can go up. They are going up. And suddenly the payment on those credit cards, or in this situation, your federal government, start to jump up. And we are now in a situation where interest payments on the national debt for the federal government are the second largest item in the budget. They are now larger than national defense, which is one of those warning signs you just don't want to cross that line. And in fact, they are the single fastest growing part of our federal budget. So whether you want big tax cuts or new government spending programs, big government, small government, whatever, interest payments squeeze out our ability to do all those other priorities. And it's really the worst part of the budget. It's paying for things from the past, not necessarily investments. And it keeps us from the ability to have our budget be flexible and responsive today. And that's where we are now.
So next half hour, I'm going to talk about this jet from Qatar. And I know you don't have anything to do with that, Maya, but I just get texts coming in here about, you know, people either for it or against it. I don't know the genesis of it. I don't know. We could talk to a guy that is the managing director for aerodynamic advisory, an expert in military aircraft that'll kind of walk us through it. I don't know what the truth is. But when it comes to, it seems like things like this big, beautiful bill, people quickly get in line between the Republicans or the Democrats, blue or red, and they're automatically for it or against it, not really knowing what's in it.
Yeah.
And yet, when you go to the debt clock, usdebtclock.org, it continues to run up, now almost $37 trillion. We continue to spend and spend and spend and spend and spend, and we say we're for it or we're against it based on the party, and we don't realize, meanwhile, the numbers continue to go up, regardless of party. Is that accurate?
I think that's such an important observation. You know, I've been working on the fiscal issue for quite some time, but over the past years, I've become increasingly concerned that the really critical part of this is the loss of trust we have in our political leaders. And the fact that, as you alluded to, we are now so polarized that people don't really, these issues are very complicated, and people tend to use their parties as the signal of what they should believe. But a lot of times the parties are so busy fighting against each other as we get more polarized, instead of trying to do what's best for the country, it divides us even further. There is no question that fixing our debt situation is the best thing we could do for our country fiscally. Put in place a budget, pay for all new spending or offset all new tax cuts, promise, have our politicians promise not to add any new borrowing. We're already going to borrow $22 trillion over the next decade if we do nothing. They need to first promise not to make that worse and then finally put in place a debt deal that would address it. But to circle back to your point, people, you know, there's a legitimate question, like, how does the deficit even affect me? That's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about the cost of health care or higher ed or saving or my taxes. And so it's important that people understand that this huge debt undermines our economy. It undermines our ability to grow our standard of living, our wages, our jobs. It has profound effects because it pushes out all the private sector investment. But it also means that those interest payments push out the federal government's ability to do things. We're less prepared for when there is a legitimate emergency where the government may have to borrow. And in that case, interest rates could be pushed up, which could make a worse recession. There's pressure to print more money, which will lead to inflation, which is something we are just coming out of. And at this point, this is this new concern that's really popping up, but it's a national security threat. If we have to borrow from countries abroad, including China, countries with whom we are not aligned with, we are dependent on them. If they own hundreds of billions of treasuries, which they do, and they can sell them at any point, that is a weakness that could be weaponized just the way that other, you know, boots on the ground or digital forms of weapons. The debt dependency is a weapon for us. And the final risk is that at some point we have just inflation or higher interest rates that we can't stop. And we get into a really dangerous cycle where there'll have to be very difficult measures to fix it. So,
and what we didn't address at all is whether it's Republican, Democrat or independent, the lobbies of different big whatever it is are betting on both sides of the table. They're betting red, green, and red, black, and green on a roulette table, right? They're betting them all. So they don't really care as long as they get whatever they want.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about the effects of money in politics because we have a lot of problems in our federal budget, which cause our spending to be much higher than it needs to be. I'll pick on two industries. But the defense procurement, the way we buy defense systems, there could be a lot of savings there. And probably the most wasteful area is how we deliver our health care.
Let me
there
pick it up
so
there
many
when,
ways.
When we come back, Maya, okay, about where the big money ticket items are and the big the things that would have to be done to get it under control. But I don't see it ever changing because that would mean you'd have to worry about the next generation and not the next election. I don't see any of that in Washington. Maybe I'm wrong. Maya McGinnis, our guest, president of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. We'll talk about the big, beautiful bill and what's in it when we return. 621 Traffic Now, WWL. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Maya McGinnis, president of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. Let's talk about the big, beautiful bill, if we will, and the your organization's thoughts on that. Then I want to get back to defense spending, if I can, and also health care delivery. But tell me about the bill first.
Okay, before I jump in, I just have to say that World War II Museum is the single best museum I have ever seen, and I am making a trip to come back this summer just to go see it more. So
thank you, Maya. It is an amazing facility.
It's the best.
It is. Thank you. And we're lucky
it's
to have
best.
You here.
It really, it was, the, and I, you know, there are a lot of good museums in Washington, D.C., but that World War II one blew me away.
Thank you. That's
so here we are. We are right now in Washington struggling to figure out what to do with this reconciliation package, the purpose of which is to extend a bunch of tax cuts from the Trump tax cuts from 2017, many of which are expiring, but it has turned even larger where there's new tax cuts that are included and new spending increases. And there is a real debate within Congress to what extent to offset the costs of this bill. The problem is, and just to be really frank, and again, very nonpartisan, I'm a political independent, but this bill, as it's currently structured, would blow up the national debt. Even if you look at the economic growth effects from those tax cuts, most of which are probably canceled out by the negative economic effects from borrowing more money, this is a bill that would add about $3 trillion to the national debt at a time where we should only be passing legislation that would reduce the debt. Moreover, there are a lot of gimmicks in it. So just like we're dealing with tax cuts that are expiring today and people are saying, oh, we have to do something, we have to extend them, this new bill has more of those expiring tax cuts, which just creates a big fiscal cliff down the road. So it's kind of, instead of saying, we'll deal with and acknowledge the full costs now of this, we're going to push it to somebody in the future. The savings are backloaded. All the borrowing is front-loaded. And I think the White House has put out this really good goal of saying we need to bring our deficits down from where they are at 6% of GDP. Let's cut them in half. Let's get them to 3% of GDP. It's not balancing the budget, but it would do a lot. This bill moves us in the wrong direction, where we would more likely be at 7% of GDP at the end of the budget time window. People like to give tax cuts. Voters love to get tax cuts. The offsets, the spending reductions which you need, are much harder politically, and we're seeing the effect of that, which is that this is a big, glaring deficit hole in the bill as currently structured.
One thing I wanted to just ask you about real quick, we only have a minute left, is that when you talk about defense spending and foreign countries like China holding U.S. currency and then, I guess, calling the debt, if you will, and causing the problem for us, ironically, we're putting ourselves in a more vulnerable position by defense spending the way we are, right? And borrowing money to do it?
Exactly. We have opened up a real pocket of vulnerability because we have to borrow from abroad. We are constrained when we think about the national security efforts that we should be taking. That shouldn't be a budgetary consideration. It should be a what do we need to do to be safe. And once you're as over indebted as we are, with our debt as equal to 100% of GDP, that starts to affect your ability to create a strong national security, which is arguably the single most important goal of a federal government. So we don't want to get, as we've seen other countries, get into a point where we're so indebted we can't act in the way we need to. But that affects other things, too. The economy is changing because of technological innovation. We should be thinking about how to alter our government programs, and are there risks or insurances that need to be switched from the way the old things work? We're not having those discussions. And finally, I'll just set out sort of the big boogeyman in all of this is we have our number one government program, Social Security, which so many people depend on for their benefits. It is going to be insolvent in 8 years, which means those benefits will not be able to be paid. And instead of having a political class that is warning that and saying, okay, let's figure out the solutions, here's the possible things, let's figure it out, they are in absolute denial. We had two candidates run for president talking about not fixing the system. And if we don't make changes to Social Security in 8 short years, there will be across-the-board benefit cuts for every single recipient of about 23%. And it's unconscionable. So I think we talked about polarization in politics before. The problem is this is a tough issue to fix. And because our country is so divided, we have our leaders fighting against each other and kind of trying to pander on this instead of telling the truth and saying that the ticket to being a strong country is getting our fiscal situation under control. It's not easy, but it's doable.
Thank you, Maya. We're out of time. We'll talk to you again soon. 6:31, time for WWL First News.